Good morning, everyone. My name is Zhe Jiangtai. Today we share our laboratory study on N2O emission and nitrogen transformation. Probably you will wonder why I have so many titles, 1-3 here, because I'm a visiting scholar from Chinese Academy of Agricultural Science, now in UC Davis and USDA ARS. I directly work with Dr. Su Duanggao, and during this study, Eileen and Yinghua have me collected soil samples. I also often consult with Dr. Minggang Xu, my supervisor in China, and Dr. Brad Hansen, my official supervisor in UC Davis. As everyone knows, California is the top agriculture production state in the US. But however, water shortage, especially this year, and also negative impact of agricultural chemicals such as groundwater pollution from nitrogen fertilizer, as well as climate change, increasingly threatened the sustainability of agriculture in the state. Agriculture is also the major source of N2O emission. Based on the main problem in the agriculture, a pomegranate project was conducted in USDA ARS water management to test two irrigation methods and three nitrogen application rates to develop a efficient water and nitrogen usage. And the two pictures showing the two irrigation methods, surface drill and the subsurface drill. In this field study, we also monitored N2O emission. And this figure showing the N2O emission flux changed with the growing season in 2012. We can see the surface drill with higher nitrogen application rate resulted in much, much higher N2O emission. But in this field study, it's hard to separate the combined factors, soil moisture and nitrogen application rate, and it's hard to see which is the main factor affecting this N2O emission. Based on this question, we designed the laboratory study to examine the details of each factor affecting N2O emission and associated nitrogen transformation. So the soil used in this study collected from this pomegranate orchard, and the soil belongs to Hanford Sunny Loam. And 35 days incubation was conducted, 3 kilogram soil in a foliage container with a gas tight lid and a sample pot. A treatment including 4 urea application rates and 4 water content levels, 5%, 10%, and 20% is above the field capacity, 30% is saturated. Also, 3 temperature levels. The N2O emission reduction treatment, including agglutinin and urease inhibitor, and SO24, a nitrification inhibitor, and another treatment with 1% biochar. All of the treatment have 3 replications. This slide shows the N2O sampling and the steps of N2O sampling and analysis. The sampling wells were prepared by flushing using the pure gas in this glove bag, and the 4 points gas samples were collected using syringe, and the gas samples preserved in the sampling wells and then analyzed on the GC micro ECD and the N2O emission flux were calculated from the linear regression of N2O concentration increase inside the container. To correlate the N2O emission with the nitrogen transformation, we determined the soil ammonium nitrate plus nitrate and nitrate. 20 grams soil were collected and extracted with a tumor KCL using the calorimetric method. We also determine the soil pH because the soil pH change related to urea hydrolysis consume proton and nitrification produce proton. So now the result and the N2O emission and the soil nitrogen transformation for per factor were reported together to show clearly the relationship. This slide shows the nitrogen application rate on N2O emission. We can see the N2O emission flux markedly increased after 1 day, and the peak flux significantly increased with increasing natural application rate. But the peak flux is not proportional to the nitrogen rate increase, especially for the 150 milligram nitrogen treatment. The flux lasts to 23 days, and this resulted more than four times cumulative NOx emission in 150 milligram nitrogen treatment than that from 100 milligram nitrogen treatment. And we can see the cumulative NOx emission increased exponentially with nitrogen application rate. This is nitrogen transformation and pH change. We can see from the ammonia figure, urea hydrolysis resulted in peak concentration of ammonium within 3 days and then decreased significantly. And nitrification resulted in a remarkable increase of nitrate and plus nitride. And at the end of the incubation, the nitrate was the dominant nitrogen form for all treatments. Urea hydrolysis also increased the soil pH at the beginning, and then nitrification decreased the soil pH. Now I would like to draw more attention on this figure. This figure very interesting. We can see the nitrate has the same trend with the NO emission flux. Its 150 milligram nitrogen treatment had a much higher peak concentration of the nitrate. I think this may be because due to the high ammonium concentration and the elevated pH is a higher application rate treatment, and this resulted in the ammonia NH3 toxicity and blocked the nitrate transforming to nitrate. This slide shows the soil moisture on NO emission. We can see it is the 20% and 30% water content treatment NO emission flux spiked immediately within 2 days, and then decreased and increased again. And the second peak was observed at the 19 days and 27 days for 20% and 30% water content treatments. And the peak flux more than 20 times than that from the 5% and 10% water content treatment. And this resulted more than 30 times the cumulative NO emission than that from the 5% and 10% water content treatment. This slide shows the soil moisture on NO transformation and the pH. We can see the urea hydrolysis to ammonium is not significantly affected by the soil water content, as the peak concentration of ammonium was observed between the 2 days or 3 days. But the 20% and 30%, the ammonium decrease is slower down than other treatments. For 5% water content treatment had a relatively lower nitrification rate than that from 10% treatment. And for 20 and 30% treatment, we can see the nitrate plus nitride decreased immediately after treatment maintained a much lower concentration till 19 days, reached a small peak. From the nitrate figure, we can see the peak moisture from the nitrate. The 20% and 30% water content had a relative higher soil pH, and nitrification resulted in a lower pH for 5% and 10% treatment. The result our temperature on NO emission is similar with other research. The lowest temperature results in much lower NO emission, and the 25 and 40 centigrade result in much higher NO emission, but no significant difference in cumulative NO emission between the higher temperature. Due to the time limitation, I don't talk about too much on this. So this slide shows the inhibitors and the biochar on NO emission. We can see comparing with the nitrogen-only treatment without amendment. The amendment with the nitrogen inhibitors and the biochar all reduced the NO emission flux. And and thereby reduced NO emission more than 70%. This showing the amendment on the nitrogen transformation and the pH. We can see the agglutinin and the urea inhibitor slow down the urea hydrolysis, and the N-SERV24, the nitrification inhibitor, slow down the ammonium oxidation. And for biochar treatment, we can see here the nitrification, since the 19 days, the had a relative higher nitrification rate that from the nitrogen only treatment. And the soil pH change agree to the nitrogen transformation process. This nitrate figure also have the same trend with the NO emission flux. So if we put the all the data together for the all the treatments and make a correlation between the nitrogen emission flux and the nitrate, but no relationship was significant relationship was found. But we can see apparently two groups here and here. If we divided the group into treatments with the soil water content below field capacity and treatments with soil water content above field capacity, we can see the significant relationship between the NO emission flux and the nitrate was observed. So we can see the nitrate is a good indicator for NO emission. This table showing the total treatment on cumulative NO emission, as the unit is milligram per kilogram soil. This is the percentage of the of applied nitrogen. We can see when the water content above field capacity resulted in cumulative NO emission more than 10% of applied nitrogen. So now a summary. From our study, you can see the NO emission is positively correlated with nitrogen application rate, soil temperature, and soil water content. And the nitrogen transformation data indicate the different NO production mechanism as soil water content changes. Due to time limitation, we didn't talk too much about this, but the denitrification appears to intensify with the high water content above field capacity, causing extremely high NO emission, about 10% of nitrogen applied. Nitrate can serve as a good indicator for NO production and emission, and nitrogen transformation inhibitors and biochar can be effective in mitigating NO emission, more than 70% in this study. Thank you very much for your attention. Urea.
Do you have any idea how biochar could inhibit urealysis or hydrolysis of urea? I mean, why did you think that would be an inhibitor?
You mean your question is why the biochar inhibits the
What is in which pathway from urea to N2O?
From this figure, we can see the biochar doesn't affect the urea hydrolysis. But from the nitrification figure, we can see that since the 13 days, the nitrate plus nitrate increase higher than that from the nitrogen only treatment. This may be the biochar maybe increase the soil environment quality and this, and therefore increase the nitrogen transformation. And from this we can see the nitrate almost the same time and the lower nitrate concentration was observed in this biochar treatment.
So it's not inhibiting.
No, from this.
Okay.
No. Yes, we did analyze the ammonium, but
All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.